Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
A lot better.
Okay. Yeah, we gotta use this like that. So I think. So I believe that they win the Bullet. Is the EST of not just when he was in NXT, but now with WWE, he's gonna be a player like the boss Sasha Banks, but a different style. They both got different entities, but a kind of the same persona, so called. You know, they're both cocky. They both bring their A game whenever they come to the ring. Sasha Banks has actually gotten better since she's been healed. Even though she was healed before, she's a Sasha Banks of some. but she's a different fire from when she was Sasha Banks of old.
Well, you said it right there. Almost a Sasha Banks, you know, rip-off character. So, you know, I like Bianca Belair, and I think that she does absolutely deserve a spot and a main event spot, and I think that she is worth building a legacy for, too. She already co-held the record for the most eliminations in a Rumble, and now she wins the Rumble. So it's a deserving win, for sure. Like I said, I would have been okay with any of the final four winning it.
I mean, like I said, I agree with you 100%.
If Charlotte would have won, that would have been great. To be known to, you know, be a two-time Royal Rumble winner. But at the same time, it's about time that they start passing the torch and making homegrown talent. And that's upstairs on the biggest stage, even if they lose. But Bianca Belair, I think she's going to go for the Raw Women's Championship. She's not going to go for the SmackDown Championship. She's going to go for the Raw Women's Championship, and she's going to beat Asuka. She's going to be ready for Asuka.
If they're not going further with Alexa Bliss and Asuka, which is a really cool story, really.
I remember that. But I think that, well, yeah, you're right. She's going to end up going for the SmackDown.
I think that's the matchup they're building to. And I think the best matchup they can make.
But also, what you were bringing up earlier, saying she's a rip off of Sasha Banks.
They can actually put that in the toolbox.
But you got to think about it. She's more cocky, and she showed her strength when she lifted up almost a 300-some-pound man in Otis.
And again, they're not the same wrestler.
No,
but they're the same character. They are. And, you know, when I first seen her in NXT, I was like, dude, this is Wayne. And really, the character is really Wayne.
But
the wrestler is really good.
But I see the fire Bianca Belair. I see the fire in her. And it just showed her passion after she won the Rumble. She showed her passion, and she actually showed her emotion and cried. And
yeah.
Did it for her parents and did it for her husband, and she's going to go on to WrestleMania and win that gold.
They need to kind of chill out on the whole, the whole Sasha Banks thing. Like, you know,
I see that too.
She didn't need him to get over to the main roster. And they were together, you know what I mean? And they spent then, but they kind of need to drop that. Just kind of let that slowly die off. Like, okay, public knowledge is fine.
But
the two should be very separate.
Yeah.
But it makes sense for Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins almost because they were both the top guys. But, you know, if they were both the top guys, they felt, you know, if not, it looks like what?
Okay.
It never works.
So let's move on and move the gears to the men's 2021 Royal Rumble.
And let me start by saying you called it.
I did. And that's what I meant.
You made a public Facebook call, so anybody who wants to doubt the Texan can eat a dick and die. That's right, you're rated R.
A bag of dick.
He did call it. And I was hoping, I mean, yeah, it's not like he called the 101 favorite, but, you know, it was definitely Day-Day called it, and he was, I didn't think Edge would win because I didn't really keep going there, that I think that I could go there, and I like what they're doing with it already. Did you see his appearance on NXT?
Yes, I did. That was a fire, because he said that NXT were pushing to make his comeback. And the passion and the drive is basically the shit that he was talking about last year. And it's just fire what they're doing with Edge right now. Like I said, Edge's win has a close and dear ear to my heart, and he's a rated R superstar, only great enough to be on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast to be announced. So your 2021 winner of the Royal Rumble, the Rated R Superstar Edge, and it's freaking awesome. Because he's never lost that championship. He never lost that championship. He relinquished
that championship. Now, you see that whole fuss when he, you know, came out as a surprise on Raw and declared for the Rumble. And, dude, you sure better go for the title you never lost. Because that's intriguing to Finn Balor and Edge.
Yes.
Man, that would be fire. And, you know, his promo was a cool tease. And Pete Dunne had the most awful fucking spray tan.
Yes, dude. He looked like a mini Loompa. He looked like a fucking Loompa, bro.
He was like green, dude. Like yellow. Looked like he had jaundice and shit. From, like, his ears to his ears. It wasn't even, you know.
Yeah, just wanted to let you all know, Billy Joe Wilson.
That was definitely that's going to be a fire match, man. Finn Balor, TakeOver.
Oh, yeah, TakeOver Vengeance.
You're the best in-ring guy in
NXT.
Period. Finn Balor is the first guy that, you know, he is NXT. He's definitely take the next ride toward Gibraltar Road. He epitomizes what NXT is, and the fact that he went back there to move forward, I don't think anybody else could have done it. For anybody else, it would have low-key been a demotion, but for Finn Balor, it's definitely not been.
No, not at all. And Finn Balor has done a fucking, and the job that he's done as NXT champion is the Finn Balor of old when he was the longest reigning NXT champion. Balor, he don't need the demon. Finn Balor, the way he is now, is way, I want to say stronger than the demon, dude, because
he should have never strayed from that, but yeah, heel Finn Balor doesn't need to embrace that, but for that to come, for instance, like, something like, it could work with Killian Cross where he does something so evil to Finn Balor, you know, maybe so dangerous or gives it, you know, yeah, or, you know, but I mean, what can there be? He's a heel. It could be the heel demon. I mean,
there's
Japan, in New Japan, the demon came out.
Yeah.
And he was a heel. He was, you know.
That's what I'm saying, but you got to look at it. Every time he's done the demon in WWE or whatever, has been as a face.
He spent very little time as a heel, though. And this is, and people forgot, and a lot of the other people that didn't know him pre-WWE now realize that he made a living as a heel. He was, he was a face with Taguchi, but he reached that next level, that level that got WWE's attention.
Yeah.
As the heel leader of the Bullet Club.
Exactly.
And he was just such a good heel. And again, you got to give the credit to him because it was the Finn Balor and then AJ Styles Bullet Club that became that phenomenon. That before, you know, Kenny Omega joined as a junior even. He was, you know, on the second to third tier down. It's like, you know, the top guys and, you know, Fale and, you know, and then the IWGP Tag Team Champions, Gallows and Anderson, the Young Bucks, you know. And then it was, you know, Kenny Omega.
Yeah. But, dude, definitely Finn Balor, whoever he defends that championship again, man, because if you look at it, Kane even had high praise for Damian Priest, which I believe is good because
I feel
Damian
bad for that
Priest,
guy. That guy just got buried by getting this promotion. Do you really think they're going to use this guy right?
I mean, Damian Priest, if they use him right, he could be on the main roster and he is on Raw. But my thing is, they're gonna have to use him right And I hope that they use him right, because when he was in Ring of Honor, he was Punishment Martinez, and he was fire in Ring of Honor back before he came into the WWE.
Damian Priest. Man, do you really think the main roster knows what to do with him?
No, they don't, but hopefully they do. Hopefully they end up, because look at the...
Do you really think that he's the guy that will appeal to the one person that matters?
No. But Kane had the high praise for him, and that's what should matter to him. Is that
I mean, yeah, Kane's praise is only going to get Damian Priest so far for so long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if anything would be, because you see, dude, I mean, Vince McMahon's got fucking Ricochet. Why is Ricochet not main eventing anything? They could stop NXT if they did, which they kind of do, as a third brand that's completely different and is more, actually, Edge said it outright. WWE, they focus on the E. He said, this is the only brand that focuses on that second W,
right.
Wrestling.
Yeah, that's right. That's the only thing that matters to Mr. McMahon is that entertainment.
And, yeah, and he's not really, you know, and Vince McMahon was absent, and it was fire.
No, definitely. But what can I say? McMahon, I believe, he lost his touch a long time ago. But who are we to say, man, you're losing your touch? He's going to say, his touch, good shit!
Yeah, he would definitely think that. But he's not a stupid man. He's got to see that his ratings are not going in the right direction. And AEW is coming. And their product, I'm going to admit, is not as good as I thought it would be. It's not as good as some people think it is on a regular basis. It wasn't. But, dude, now, and that, to me, is the biggest news right now in the last week. Like, the Impact partnership, I've been really excited about it. But last night, dude, Kenta attacked the IWGP United States Champion, who made an appearance at New Japan at Wrestle Kingdom on not in person, but on a promo that he cut on the big screen, and, you know, saying he's coming back to defend his title. And, yeah, Kenta holds the briefcase. Kenta has defended that briefcase like 3-4 times to challenge for the IWGP United States Championship. But he shows up in AEW, and now it's making a little more sense how, you know, they're using the Bullet Club outright here, you know.
But did you hear about Tama Tonga talking about what the fuck are they doing calling themselves the Bullet Club?
Exactly. And now, you know what I mean? This is going somewhere. Tama Tonga is one of them guys. You never know when he's working or shooting.
Yeah. Tama Tonga is one of my favorite members from the Bullet Club. Like, he's a shit. He's the original OG Bullet Club. And he created...
Actually, I think Fale's been there longer. I think he's the... Because Balor and Fale started it.
Yeah, I remember.
No, the Prince.
Prince
the real rock and roller.
Yeah. The new
wrestling
heavyweight
champion. Man, dude, what a beautiful belt that is. Big-ass skull and crossbones.
Yeah.
It's a huge ass belt, too. You know, I'm a big belt fan.
Oh, yeah.
I actually
purchased the heavyweight championship for next.
I know, I love that belt so much. I just love to look at it. It inspires me, especially talking about wrestling. Its presence is inspiring.
But, guys, also, we were scheduled to have something with Teddy Hart, but something happened beyond his means that he can't handle. But he's going to reschedule for sure, and we will have Teddy Hart on the show. That's 100% coming from me.
Yeah,
we're
going to
have Teddy Hart on the show.
And, yep, that's definitely something beyond what he can control. And we really appreciate him getting back to us and letting us know that he wasn't going to make it this evening.
you know, that
That's
really means
a lot.
That's
professional, Mr. Limelight.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck Mr. Limelight. We got Teddy Hart.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. They, everybody always likes to talk shit about Teddy Hart, but how unprofessional he is, right?
And
that's the reason they say the guy wasn't a superstar.
He was like, dude, he's like, there's something that happened beyond my means that I can handle. And he's like, I'll reschedule with you. And that's gonna be-
dude, that is the interview out of all the people we've talked to and even talked about talking to that I'm the most excited for because I'm a big Teddy Hart fan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we're going to talk his journey from where
we are going to have
W.
Breaking news broken on this show today.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little sneak peek for you. We're
Oh, wait, no.
We're going to a location.
Next week first. We got to talk about next week first.
We're going to have.
Well, go ahead and make your announcement.
That was it. It was just a little, you know, promotion for what's to come tonight. Because, yeah, there will be breaking news made on this show. Concerning, you know, something wrestling-wise, and actually something else. Now it's all wait a little while to announce it. I scored a big interview today that I'm excited to share that about.
Yeah.
We'll break that one later too. But yeah, we're actually gonna have a special guest break some news.
But what's up?
So it's not gonna come from us. The you know, the news that's gonna get broke is gonna come from the horse's mouth.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, I didn't mean it like that.
You see, he's talking about you already. Right the mark, goddammit. But next week, also, next week, I'm going to just announce next week's show. Because the rated R, we're getting bigger and bigger as it goes. And that's all about the Open Talk Radio. But next week's guest, we will have Ring of Honor referee.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one, too. That's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that show because, man, a Ring of Honor referee, we could only, man, talk about his journey from the indie scene to Ring of Honor days, and that's something that's going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be, man. And shout out to some of our good friends, man, like the Pro Wrestling Edge guy.
Mr. Dan Brewer.
Brandon, Big Ted, Josh, and Nick the Gooch. Shout out to you guys, man. We love you.
We love you guys.
Josh, Danny, and Cody. The captain of the ship there. Shout out to you guys. They check out Pro Wrestling Michigan Independent Weekly on Facebook.
How about the man that made the Rated R Wrestling Podcast merch?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well, actually. Yeah, a little bit of breaking news.
Yeah, that's awesome news that we're going to, news is being broken and broken every day.
We have a special show with a lot of special guests. We went from our plans being spoiled to, man, having quite a packed show for tonight.
Yeah, man. What an interview we got for you guys this week, though. It's going to be great. We got Mikey Banker. Like I said, we had Teddy Hart. But it's always something great.
It doesn't matter. What am I saying?
What are you just saying?
I'm gonna try to say March
because
I
okay. So tonight we came out to the castle of the undeniable one, and we ran into some trouble. Fuck all you truckers who are trying to get to Canada right now, dude. Fuck each and every one of you. 500 people decided to go to Canada, and yeah, fucked up our plans.
Messed up 75, and
we came out here to see the undeniable one. He's gonna make a surprise guest appearance on the show tonight, and the promoter of Horror Slam, Rachel Green, who is with me now, and she is going to break some news. Good evening, Miss Rachel.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
It's great to see you. Thank you for inviting us to be your castle.
No problem.
Be your guest tonight.
You're always welcome. And love you guys.
So we will be doing our first show back in March, most likely maybe the first week of March.
2021.
Making
it back. Undeniable. And it's a real live horse show.
So, we have...
How you doing, everybody?
The champion. The Horror Slam heavyweight champion. Undeniable.
How's everybody doing?
Okay, I'm right here.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, Horror Slam's coming back in March. We were tentatively scheduled for actually this month, but seeming that, you know, things happen, you know, and we're trying to, like, kind of hoping for more fans in March, seeming that they have a kind of a cap on how many people are supposed to attend these shows. But we're looking forward to it. And
XICW doing the two shots seemed to work.
Yeah, and I think, well, that's what we had talked about, too, is maybe actually even doing an A and B show in one day, like, you know, first half
two
show.
Different slots.
You know, that way, you know, we'll keep the overflow of wrestlers and the fans happy, too.
Right.
So it should be really cool.
Yeah. Man, we can't wait. You know we're going to be there most definitely.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And that's always what my question was. I'm going to want tickets to the show.
Yes, that's got to happen, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of big things happening, too, like, moving forward. It's like Horror Slam is coming back with a fury, I can tell you that. And it's like we've made some pretty good friends along the way.
We are also not just going to be in Michigan. We're going to take on the road.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. You heard it here first. Horror Slam, which, now, the Horror Slam Championship is a national heavyweight championship. It's defended in three states now. It's been defended in three fucking time zones, brother.
Yep.
The East Coast, Tennessee, is Central Time, and in fucking Denver.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's definitely a goal is to bring that belt a little more national notoriety, as well as, like, once these borders open up, which might take some time and you know, nobody knows in the foreseeable future, but I want to bring that belt to Japan. You know, that's like a huge, not just a goal, but that's something I'm going to make happen, you know, and it's just going to take time, you know. And
I love what you say.
I'm going to make happen.
He doesn't like to use the word try.
Yeah, I don't like the tries or the can't. We got to make this stuff happen, you know, and then we just... you know, not trying to get anybody's hopes up, but it's not really necessarily a hopes up type of thing. It's definitely going to happen. Is we sell our schedule to take on GCW and the GCW versus Horror Slam pay per view, which was going to be featured on Fight, which still is going to be featured on Fight, but we don't have it yet. But it's still in the works. Over a year in the making, we're not going to like let this one slip through.
It's so fucked. For Horror Slam because there was a motherfucking GCW collaboration show coming in like
last
2.5 weeks from this fucking bullshit hitting the fan. Horror Slam was.
That would have been a fire pay per view, right?
It would have burned down the whole building.
Oh, yeah.
Don't sleep on Horror Slam.
I'll never do that
the whole time.
You see somebody on AEW have a Horror Slam sign out there. The Horror Slam is known.
I actually ran into him at the mall 2 weeks ago. He goes, "Are you Rachel Green?" Like, yeah. He goes, "You remember me?" I'm like, "No." I'm at all your shows. I was the one turning the AEW sign or the Horror Slam sign at AEW. I'm like, "Wow, thank you."
Right. That's dope. That's sweet. You know what I'm saying? That's the best thing. You know when you know your brand is getting out there. It's on AEW TV. It's just not locally known. It's going to be nationally known, and it's been on TV. So. And it's just a great thing.
That's what we try to do here is get things known. So check it out. That's what we try to do. We promote everybody and everything. So, Briar, I'm going to put you on the spot. And you got to promote the Deathmatch Kitty. And the Deathmatch Kitty, get your Deathmatch Kitty merch. Contact Rachel Green or Briar Wellington
There's actually some dope ass.
Yeah, I made a couple t-shirts. I have to mail them out this week.
That Kitty will fuck you up.
Yeah, she's a mean bitch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
She's running away from Greg right now.
Yeah,
but she's in heat, though.
Right now.
She's just a regular kitty. She's been in heat like every 2 weeks.
She's about
and
that
she's
mess,
stay in heat
right.
for a week, and she's like, don't touch my ass, bitch.
dude, she will come up to you. Like she's gonna love you, and you
yeah,
touch her,
you
and she give you the fucking skibbity pat.
Oh, yeah.
She actually has hands.
Yeah,
she human, and she does backhand,
yeah. Yeah,
the
skibbity pats, boy.
Yeah, bud.
Five piece.
You gotta have some kind of death magic going on around here.
Yeah,
that's something I definitely think that people are gonna be clamoring to once it comes back. I know they've been featuring a lot of stuff down in Florida. And they actually did, I think, a little bit of a death match on the DCW Fight Forever, which was cool to see. I know I
how much of that did you watch? I watched the whole 24 hours. I fell asleep for a few hours. That was the night I got out of the hospital. I put it on my son's Xbox and sat there on the couch, and I couldn't lay down anyway, and I watched the whole thing, man.
I definitely think it was.
You can get old.
It's a great concept, and along with the Thunderdome, it's a great concept. But I think that this is definitely a reminder of, in my opinion, it's not me knocking what they're doing, but they're trying. Anybody wrestling during the pandemic is extra tough. But the thing is, I think that people are going to learn that there's a huge void in wrestling that's missing, and it's our fans. You know, the fans are what makes these matches. That's what makes these shows, is the people coming out, the people supporting us. And, you know, without them, you see that there is a void, you know, because most wrestlers, well, not saying that they're not real wrestlers, but someone that's wrestled for 26 years, I play off that energy. You know, that helps me tell the story. With the people being there, I tell a story every time I'm there. So, you know, with the fans coming back, I think it's pretty exciting, and I think it's going to teach the young generation of wrestlers an appreciation for the fans themselves, you know, and there should be an investment
on
their part.
I love the pops and shit that's,
man.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
the
whole
thing, you really feel it.
Yeah, you feel the whole energy and the vibe.
Yeah, that's
what the wrestlers do, especially when they got good storytelling.
Even
like,
the old
about
studio wrestling with a small
crowd. Oh, yeah, like
crowd,
the NWA.
You still had
the NWA.
The pops and the yeah.
And that's what
the
NWA
cheers.
Does now. They try to bring that feeling to the studio taping when they had their shows and
yeah.
they had power. They only had the studio and then they had the old school setup. That was the best to me. That's why I liked NWA.
Oh yeah. And then just watching the recent event, because it was the one that had the most fans, is that was Wrestle Kingdom. I think Greg, we watched a little bit of it. You watched most of it.
I watched every minute of it.
I
watched it live.
I can tell you this: it's like, wow, what you know, what a moment for everybody on that show, you know, to be able to walk out there in front of that.
And dude, wasn't like again the pops. And dude, Japanese wrestling is different, but they appreciate it, and they're mostly quiet, and they just pop when it's appropriate, and they
right.
and they do a lot of clapping anyway. Well, they weren't allowed to cheer verbally, so you know there was clapping, but it was appropriate. It was so Japan wrestling, and man, such good stuff,
such
good shit.
Well, I think this generation, I think it's really it's wild, because like when I started out, you'd watch Japanese wrestling, and you'd get moves from it, you know, and now it's almost people watch Japanese wrestling to create their own style from it, which is cool. And, you know, it's basically the same thing we were doing. But as you go, you have to learn to be a television wrestler. You know, you have to learn how to work the cameras. And there's other aspects to being a pro wrestler. So it's not me knocking it, but it's just it shows you the generational gap between 1997 and now, how different
yeah.
it really is, you know.
Do you think wrestling is better now? The actual quality of wrestling.
I feel like
and wrestlers and where.
I don't feel that either one side is a better talent because
like wrestling, like for instance, every move that can be fucking done has almost been done.
In
like
Japan.
To see something that you've never seen before is
it's
so
hard.
Rare. You know what I mean? Variations of moves, and you know the way the psychology is there, and the psychology Yeah, I guess that's part of my question, because the psychology, to me, is important. The match telling a story and making sense.
Well, I think what's happening is it's like kind of like, you know, when our parents tell us, you know, hey, don't do your homework, you won't pass this class. Well, you don't do your homework, and then you get the E in class, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like the same thing with this generation, but this generation, it seems like there are a lot of times people are so afraid, because people are sensitive, that they're afraid to be critiqued. And when they get critiqued on something, they take it the wrong way, so to speak, and the problem is it gets – the things that the older vets say gets misconstrued. And I don't think that, because I think there's a lot of talent in the industry right now, but I think that it could be so much better if they took advice from guys that have been around longer, you know, and told a story. Because what happened with the AEW, and you can see it, because pretty much not one move is important anymore, and it takes the emphasis off that one move when it's been done so many times. Now that means that obviously you're not getting an investment off the moves. So that means that you need to go back to school and learn to work. You know what I mean?
There's too much spot festing going on.
Definitely. And I don't think that there's not room for it. I just think that if you told the story the right way, but
I
a lot
agree
of,
the spot festing should be an attraction. One part, one
like
genre, like,
yeah,
you know, your mid-part comedy guy.
Well, the problem is, too, is, like, the wrestling industry turned into an art form thing, and the honest opinion on this is wrestling's not necessarily an art form, okay? The art form, yeah, like, pro wrestling is pro wrestling. Art form is, like when you, say if I was doing a pantomime on the street corner. Well, in the generation of, like, the 1960s or even before that, it wasn't considered an art form. It was considered a sport, you know, and the sports entertainment took over, and it does sort of, like, shit on itself in a way. But at the same time, like, there's, like, it's kind of like the fundamentals don't ever change, you know what I mean? And when you try to change the fundamentals of the game to where this move doesn't knock this guy out, but it knocks that guy out, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So if you go back, you turn the volume off on your TV, and if you can't figure out who the heel and the face is, more than likely one of the sides doesn't know how to work, you know, and they don't know how to work the crowd.
And
they don't know
there
how to
you
get
go.
Heel
you
heat.
Can watch a Japanese wrestling match on which you fuck who you are, even if you're not a fan, and with Japanese commentary, and you will know sooner than not who the fucking heel is and who the face is.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I think that this generation, the biggest thing is they suffer from, like, an identity crisis. It's almost like they want to be loved, but at the same time they want to be, yeah, a lot of times if they're the heel, they want to be loved, and when they're the heel,
they want to be hated.
Yeah, they want, yeah, it's like the opposite goes for it, and it's like, listen, when you're a heel, like, the thing is, nobody in Kobo Arena, when they watched the Sheik, thought he was a babyface.
Not at all.
And if they did, I'm telling you, they weren't watching it. And that's the difference.
Or they like
you. You know, like,
that's
like
a problem I have, dude, because I'm starting to get to know guys. It's like, I really like this guy, though. And some guys, like, I love him so much that I got to boo the shit out of him out of respect.
Yeah, and most of it's like, just do your homework, you know? Like, and like most of this generation, they, like, cut off their knowledge at fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And that's
it's like
what?
It
turns off people.
Like, here's the problem here, Stone Cold Steve Austin fans, and I'm a fan of them, but the problem is there was a Hulk Hogan before him, and then before Hulk Hogan, there was a superstar Billy Graham, and then before him, there was a Bruno Sammartino, and that, you know, it goes on like that, and it's like, do your history report, you know, on guys, on how the sport evolved, you know, because certain things more than are coming back. It's almost like a, you know what I mean? Like, they're revolving right back to where it started, you know? And if you see the stuff that's really working on TV, it's the stuff that the guys where they're following the old school ways, which isn't old school. It's fundamentals, you know? It's knowing how to work in the ring. It's not 27 kicks and the guy doesn't even get hurt by it. It's like in three finishing moves. Basically, you're just killing your moves and you're not getting no investment, no one really cares. You know, they don't really appreciate what you're doing. You know, and it doesn't make it holy shit when it's they're not really giving a shit if you died or not. You know what I mean? They don't care about the effort either. You know, it's like the holy shit usually just comes because it's, oh, that's a crazy huge move. But that's the only pop they're getting. It's like that's not getting the investment from the crowd either. You know, it's like coming out, as soon as you walk out that curtain, they need to know who you are, you know, and you need to be able to get inside their heads. If you can't get in their heads,
they don't invest in you. Yeah. There ain't no point.
But you need to know how to play the psychology, and that's not psychology in the ring, it's psychology with the crowd. You know, and most of those guys are very limited on what they do on that. You know, and it's nothing knocking them. It's just more, you know, I see a thing that I've sort of caught on to is they tend to hire guys too young and throw them out there on TV. And it's like they have no life experience in pro wrestling and being on the road and just how this works. You know, I just heard a kid on a clip, or he's either a news clip, but he's a rookie, and they have a clip of him just being disrespectful, and it's just like, so he didn't hire with WWE, but then the quote is, you know, fuck WWE, I'm not going there. Well, it's like kind of funny, because guarantee you this guy wouldn't even know what pro wrestling was if he didn't watch WWE, and WWE knows what the hell they're doing, you know, like, whether you like it or not, like them, love them, whatever, they bring the money to the table, you know, and these guys are making a good quality living wrestling for them, you know. And I'm not knocking the indies, but it's like it's hard to make $1 million wrestling the indies, you know, and that's where the opportunities lie is with the WWE.
Yeah, I don't understand why it became less common. They wanted to build their own stars in their performance center. I only get that to a point because I'm now knowing what I know and starting to get to know people and be shown other things. Like, there's some serious fucking talent in this country.
Especially in the Midwest.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere, but mainly because everybody got the grit. And Breyer's like main example, you know what I'm saying? The older he gets, the more passionate he gets about it, more he wants to learn and the more he wants to do his dream. And, you know, like you said, he's going to do it. He's not going to try.
Yeah, you have to evolve in the business, you know. Like, you don't want to sit still, you know, and especially that's something I've learned is, like, being in the business as long as I have is the times when I did sit still and thought I knew it all, I didn't. I learned something new every time I either watched it or did some back study, which a lot of guys need to start doing, you know, is, like, start watching why these guys were working, you know, why things were working, why things were clicking, you know, there's a reason for it, you know, like there were so many different like stars in pro wrestling that people all around the world knew that didn't wrestle for just WWE, you know, like it was the fact that they knew how to carry that audience, you know.
Awesome. Man, Breyer, thank you for your insight on the...
I can talk your ears off. Man,
I know.
We're going to have to make a whole episode with Breyer.
That's why I love coming over here, dude. I just sit under the fucking learning tree.
Yeah. You learn.
Yeah, you know.
That's always with Breyer. He's got something good that he learns that he likes to let everybody else learn. And if you're going to grow with them,
I have a strategy. When I come over here, I get him fucking blowed.
Getting
baked.
Oh, yeah.
He talked to me all day.
That's how we're rated R.
Sleep on
yellow.
Oh.
No, never me. He's But, yeah, today we're going to announce our special guest of the evening, our featured guest, I should say, of the evening, the Crab. We made a cameo here last week and goes out last You know, a couple days later, the new Crab Wrestling
heavyweight champion,
Mikey fucking Banker. Welcome to the fucking show, Mr. Banker. Do we have Mikey?
You hear me now?
Yes. Man, Congratulations,
Mr.
Champion!
Thank you.
Now listen, last week you were on and you came with all that humble bullshit.
We don't want
today,
that shit.
I don't want that, Mikey Banker. I want you to tell the world who the fuck you are, dude. Because you are. You're the fucking man. You're a humble man. But today, this ain't about being humble. This is about you.
Letting everybody know who
this
the fuck you are.
This is all about you.
I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. Thank you so much. It means the world, you know. Like, one thing about me is, like, me being humbled is, like, something that I was always taught to me at the school of crowd wrestling, to, like, never think you're too big to anything. Like, right now, me winning the championship means a lot to me, means the world to me. But the only thing that means to me right now is I got more work to do, more work to put in, to put on the show, this company, and how what we got going forward.
Now, man, heading forward, WrestleMania weekend, you guys are going to be wrestling with WrestleMania. You want to elaborate on that?
Yes, WrestleMania, April 8th, man, on Thursday, man. I'm saying, man, only I can say is this. I don't know none of the matches, but only you need to know is I'm a part of it. What crowd has planned, and I don't even know. There's going to be something wild. It's going to knock you off your shoes. Very entertaining. Surprises. It's going to be dope, man. Y'all need to be, like I said, it is. Any year you want to be in the house, waiting for this, not the year you be in the house. You gotta come down and wrestle and watch this match, you know.
Man, I gotta believe the heavyweight champion is gonna be the main event.
Fingers crossed, because listen to the word, man. WrestleMania, man. You don't know what's going to happen. I could be the first match. I could be second match. I could be the third match. But any type of match we'll be in, I'm going to give it 120% anyway. Because, you know, being a champion comes with a lot of responsibilities, man. You know?
So no matter what part of the card you're on, you're just going to steal the show basically then.
I'm going to try to steal the show, but definitely I will steal the show.
That's right.
Goddamn right.
We are. And actually, I brought with me today somebody wants to say hi to you. He's been one of your biggest fans since day one. About a year now. This is my son, Desi.
Hey, what's up, Mikey?
What's up, big homie?
Congratulations, man. Number one champion.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I was never really into wrestling. My first wrestling show, I met you, and I knew right from when I met you, you were a good guy, a good man. I know Mikey was a fucking man. You deserve to be a champion.
Thank you, man. That means a lot, man. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man. I'll be here to support you, man. Number one fan.
And thank you, man. What's the date? He knows the date. He's waiting for it.
February 20th, baby.
February 20th.
Oh, yeah.
You've been asking me about it twice a week.
Oh.
I tell you, yeah, you know. But you're buying a ticket this time.
Fuck them kids.
Hey, wait, we can't say that no more. Can't say that no more. Hell no.
Yeah, man.
So, man, Mikey, man, when you come out, man, make sure you bring that big heavy belt with you so we can take pictures, man.
Oh, man, I keep that on me.
Let this time out.
You let everybody know who the crap champion is. Hey, we're going to hit 3 nicks with that belt, and we about to eat some Le Champion's burgers and drink some Le Champy shots.
Oh, yeah, I'm walking in with a big old belt around my waist with my pinky up yelling out Champion's.
Hell, yeah.
Man, I'm gonna get guys. It's just a couple weeks away.
I can't. I can't wait, man. It's gonna be exciting.
Yeah, man. I start driving school after in Detroit, man. So I start driving school down in Maryland, and everything's online and stuff. So I mean, starting driving school on the 21st after on the show.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
So you're gonna be here a while, huh?
Yeah, Maryland, how Maryland does it, they do it online and stuff, so I'm going to have to bring my computer with me when I go up there.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah. So, man, last time we all hung out, man, it was a long night, so I'm gonna have to sleep all day the day before so we can hang out. Shit.
You gotta take NyQuil, man, because when the crab boys come in, we know how to do a fake noise.
When the crab boys come to town, we ain't playing.
Party with these fucking guys.
Fuck, man, hell yeah! I don't know how I drove home the night before. Matt,
yeah,
tell me I'm lying. Mikey, tell me I'm lying. How many shots did we take? How many beers did we take? How many dabs did we smoke? How many blunts did we smoke?
I don't remember. Probably 3 or 4.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I drank more than that. I know I did. Me and Jason Shoe. We drank more than that.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, right now, with this crab heavyweight championship, man, you know, one thing I always say thing about it is like,
I accept. I just got
another drinking challenge.
Uh-oh.
I put down Goldman. Now I got to put down you. I'll tell you. I was there. I'm a Jeremiah Goldman guy for sure. But
don't matter.
I've seen the footage on my phone. My little son recorded it. Day they finished the White Claw before the 24-karat lion.
Yes, sir, and I'm saying that live, Mr. Goldman, and we are in a challenge one-on-one, man. Don't try to bring anybody else into it. You know where to find me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Took the attention off of that part.
Mm-hmm. That was his whole intention.
Yeah.
He's 24-plated. I'm sorry.
Yeah, oh, man.
Here comes Deathmatch Kid. You want some pop?
She's about to spill my pop on purpose. Watch.
Yeah, she's about to say pow.
Pow. You cut her? Slap shot.
But
so
yeah,
Mikey,
man.
Mikey Baker, man. What'd you do after you said? How'd you celebrate winning your championship? Did you celebrate after, or what'd you do, man?
To be honest with you, I went back. I went home. I sat down. Remember remember the things what I did to finally get to the top of the mountain, man. I went home. I took the title out. I looked at it. I cried a little bit, and I went to sleep.
Oh man, ain't nothing wrong with that shit. That's your accomplishment, man.
100%, man. And I got up the next morning, put my wrestling boots back on with my knee pads, and I marched myself back up to the crowd wrestling school. And I went back to work again because, like I said again, one thing Money Green and Sin always taught us in crowd wrestling is don't never get too comfortable, man. Because you don't know who's going to keep working around to try to take your spot. And we don't know who the next person, but the next guy might work 10 times harder than you. But my thing is this, man. If you want to be champ, you got to fight. You got to perform like a champ. If you want to perform like a champ, you got to fight like you never had a championship before on your waist. And that's one thing. One of the codes I live by. Always just busting my ass. Just trying to keep busting my ass to be better than the next person.
Oh yeah, most definitely, man. That's a good grind that you know what I'm saying. You're talking the grind time story.
Yeah, man. It's just like right now how I feel, man. It's like. If you ask me right now, you could be like, Mikey, how you feel? How do you feel about what you can do with the Crowd Wrestling Championship going forward with this company? How I feel, what I want to do with this company is I want to bring a different landscape or make a different suggestion to this company into like meet champions. Now, don't get me wrong, I respect every single Crowd Heavyweight Champion that was out there, but I want to bring my own kind of style, my own kind of way, my own attitude into this. I want to bring this company. I want to bring this company from being out from the shadows into being into the light, fucking out here ready to go. And people are like, what the fuck, crowd wrestling? Where'd that come from? These guys are fucking out here going to work, traveling to Detroit, traveling around the whole U.S., man. It's just, you know, right now, we can't do that right now with COVID and all that stuff. But when COVID breaks and all that, when you see us at WrestleMania, it's going to show a lot of, like the pieces that crowd wrestling took time to fix and took time to fix and make things better, man. You know what I mean?
Okay, talking about coming to Detroit and probably defending your championship, who would you want to face for that championship? Who would you want to defend the championship against?
Well, that's a very awesome question to ask, and I thank you for asking that question. Well, one thing I always say is this with Detroit. Before I came down to Detroit, I was in a weird part of my life, and I was like confused. And, you know, and people, I always say people from Detroit always inspire me how you guys had that fight feel, man. And one, like a couple people I have in mind would be, first off, would be Steven Rivera. Steven Rivera, yeah, taught me the ways of the FIO. If you don't know, you better figure it out.
Oh yeah, most definitely, Mr. FIO himself.
That's the first person I like to wrestle. And I like to give a big shout out to Mr. Brian Wellington. He's a very, very guy. Same thing with him too. He taught me a lot of stuff as well. And I definitely want to get in the ring and get down and dirty with him as well. One person that always had my mind in Detroit that made me want to work harder, made me push myself 10 times harder to get to this point, would be Logan, the Dread King Logan. How I feel about him, he's a strong guy, respected in his craft. Everybody, everywhere I go, every show I went to, everybody there respects him. And how I feel now, how I want to bring my Crab Heavyweight Championship, I want this Crab Championship to get respect, and I want to face the best of the best. And to me, I feel like in Detroit,
two out of three of those guys are champions.
Say again, sir?
Two out of three of those guys are champions. Greg King is the PWAS champion, and Breyer's the Horror Slam Heavyweight Champion.
I agree. Those are the two big guys in here, down there in Detroit, that makes noise. But same thing with Endless High Tyra as well. I want to face all the champions down there because I want to be the best crowd heavyweight champion that I can be. My favorite words always made me this: to beat the best, you got to beat the best. To be the best, you got to beat the best. That's better.
Yeah, to be the best you can. You can't be the rest.
You can't beat that ref. That's 100%.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
It's just right now how I feel right now. I want to fight. I want to be a fighting champ. I want to face the best of the best. And I feel like Brian Wellington, Dread King Logan, Steven Rivera, Endless Hightower are the best in Detroit. And I want to shout out each and every single last one of them.
That's awesome. Those are all matches that I'd be excited to see, except Rivera. And the threat is dead.
Oh,
I tell Breyer all the time, the threat is dead.
One day I can say is this: you cannot sleep on Rivera. Rivera is one of them guys who, if you really think about it, one of those guys, he's a pioneer of these ways of professional wrestling. I said he's a very talented guy. I've listened to him multiple times talk about wrestling from back in the past and stuff. As the threat, I remember watching the threat as a kid on multiple like DVD, independent DVDs and all the stuff my mom and then was to get for me when I was a beggar and stuff at the stores and stuff, man. With those with Steven Rivera, I feel like Steven Rivera was one of those guys that can go if he wants to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely, man. Hey, let me just say, heels are heels, and heels definitely have not fans. And it's just that Drag King has some not fans here today.
Not at all.
I love it.
Yes, sir. But yeah, man. But I tell y'all this, man. That match I had for the Crab Heavyweight title was a very hard one, man. I went against a guy named, he's a very up and coming star as a self, same, probably a little bit older than me. His name is Leo Kirby. Very good, talented guy. Put me to the ringer. The guy's a very hard working guy. When this match drops, y'all gotta watch it. It's a beautiful thing how the story we told with each other. He's a fucking amazing dude, man.
Oh yeah,
but the question,
and I know you're gonna. When the crab wrestling guys come through, I know no doubt that you'll be with them, and I guarantee you we'll be seeing a lot of you this year in this area.
Oh yeah, man, dog, you listen to me, man. I'm fucking sending me staying home and fucking going to driving school. I'm bringing my laptop with me, dog. So basically, in the fucking mornings, I'm gonna fucking be doing fucking going to fucking school for my driving school, and trying to get my learners, and fucking going traveling and wrestling, man. I'm busting my ass. This is what I want to do. And anything's not gonna, nothing's going to stay in my way. It's me getting my goal I wanted to achieve.
Man, it's a good, definitely a good place to start, especially if you want to do some traveling. That's a good place to start. You know, to be the ride is way better than to need a ride.
To need a ride, yo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're in line.
100%, man. 100%.
Yeah, I've always been the road trip guy. Made the road trip actually out here to the Undisputed Castle.
100%.
Today. Yeah, so actually, Rivera has a show tomorrow, Pro Wrestling All-Stars, with
at Victoria Gym in Brownstown.
Man.
Our first big show.
They just unlocked anybody being allowed inside anywhere here on the first. So it's only been a couple days, and as far as I know, it's going to be the first show with fans in maybe probably in Michigan.
Holy crap, man. That's big right there, man.
Yeah. We're starting to finally, you know, people are starting to drop dates. It's hopefully loosening up.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So, the show that you won the title on, where was that?
That was at...
Were you guys able to have fans in attendance?
Yeah, boss man. It was in UEW's undisclosed location right now. Because, like, you know, it's like, we right now it was taped and all that stuff. So, you know, how that goes. Again, you know.
Nice. Well, Mikey, we want to thank you again for coming on. And we look forward to seeing you very soon. And I look forward to seeing the Crab Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. I got to get a picture with that boy.
Hey, can I do a shout-out real quick?
And the Horror Slam Heavyweight Champion, Briar Wellington, heard you loud and clear. Let me just tell you.
Well, you tell Mr. Briar this. I'm coming for you.
Ah, humble yourself, Ricky. Good to see you, buddy. Good to hear
you. Time is up.
Uh-oh.
She caught it.
But yeah, man, it's like, before we go, I want to make sure I tell everybody this again. Remember, April 8th at Tampa, on a Thursday, Crowd Wrestling will be wrestling with Mania. Be out there for the lookout stuff. If he's in and out soon. No, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know nothing. Just know I'm there, and I will be there defending my Crowd Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, yeah. We can't wait.
Yes, sir. All right, brothers. Thank you so much for coming on
to the show, and we'll see you in a few weeks, brother.
You too, brother. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So we, the other thing that we're excited about tomorrow, we expect our first set of merch. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast t-shirt.
Sold out. Already
sold out. That's right. They I just want to give a shout out to man, our merch maker Sean Stockmeyer, and him and Face Kicked Apparel. They ran a great deal
and
they
did a great job. They did a great job. If you guys want to let us know if you need it, we'll order some more. Pre-orders available, and then shipping if you need shipping. Yeah.
it is, but I mean,
I can't wait until it's just normal for people to be like,
so I hear we got a caller on the line. Mr. Sean is on the line. Sean, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's it going, bud?
It's going. How about you?
Oh, man.
Dude, I wanted to have you on to personally, you know, thank you and let everybody know, man, what a great job you do. And, you know, Space Kick Apparel that makes hands down the best merch in period. I ordered shirts from many different places, and, you know, those shirts are the highest quality, the ones I wear the most often. And, man, we had the pleasure of working with you. You worked with our design, even improved it a little bit, and, man, produced a product that absolutely beyond anything we expect.
Well, thank you. I'm just glad that you guys like our stuff so much that wanted us to, you know, help get your brand going and put our stamp on it.
That was our honor to have your stamp on our shirt.
Yeah, that's an honor, you know.
We you know, trying to Amazon the, you know, the cheapest piece.
Right, there you go.
No, if we were going to do it, we talked about this last year. And we're like, yeah, if we do it, we got to be going to be
six apparel. That's for sure.
I was talking about how dope it would be to have our logo on a shirt, a Space Six apparel
right next to
logo in it. For location.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you guys let me mess with it a little bit, make it pop a little bit more, and I'm glad that you liked the picture that I sent.
And absolutely loved it, and we already showed the people that bought them, and they loved it. And that's not all. Also, the coolest merch table in professional wrestling, straight up, is a Nomad merch table. For variety, I gotta say, Peter B. Beautiful be number one, because this guy's got everything from condoms to hot sauce. But, you know, Nomads, dude, they got some dope shit. The masks that he made and the, you know, man, that was absolutely amazing. The, you know, the.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I got
the gators that we did, the I got action figures.
I'm wearing a gator around my neck right now, actually.
Yeah?
Sea gator.
Yeah, actually, the hat too, right?
Yeah, the hat.
Yeah, the hat and the gator.
And your sweater.
Oh, yeah, and the sweater. The yellow and black one. Look at that.
Man, I'm
all the reader, you're about to say
shit,
that,
bro.
You're dripping face king.
Man. Let me see my t-shirt layer was. But, yeah, they, definitely the man to get a hold of.
Yeah, you can find us
at
Space Kick Apparel. You can go to www.spacekickapparel.com. You can message me personally if you want. My name is Sean Sackler. I'd be happy to help anybody.
Yeah, you are, man. You're such a gem to work with. And, bad news is the deal is expired, but the good news is there's, man, still a great deal there for you. Just hit
yeah,
my man
Julie
up.
Likes to Julie likes to run that special every like first of the year, and sometimes she likes to do it around her birthday, which is November. So you always got to keep an eye on it. You never know when she's gonna do it. Uh-oh, you getting arrested?
Uh-oh, get a little siren going.
Sorry, that's my fault.
Yeah, that sounds like the way the show started for us, man. I ran into some traffic picking up Dan in Southwest Detroit, trying to, you know,
get all the way to Brownstown,
trying to get down here.
That's my fault, y'all.
Jesus.
That's funny.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, man, I can't wait to be repping our shirts tomorrow night.
Yep. We will be at Pro Wrestling All-Stars.
Come check out.
I bet you weren't coming out, eh?
I know.
I was even nice enough to put your guys' personalized ones on top so you didn't have to go digging through the box.
Thanks, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and see, then there's that. That's I can't wait.
You didn't even have to do that,
right?
But he did.
But he did. Great guy. See?
One. It was, yeah. Dude, you are such
the
a
man.
Man to work with, and you are the man. I invited you on so we could, you know.
I love you too, Sean.
And Miss Rachel says she loves you as well.
Aw, thank you. I love you too.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
You going to Pro Wrestling All-Stars tomorrow?
Yes,
we are.
What's the match that you're looking forward to the most?
I'm looking forward to the champion versus champion match.
Movado
and TJ.
Maybe the gauntlet
match.
That's
pretty good.
That could be a good
one.
Gauntlet?
Yeah, the gauntlet. I've been looking at the contenders, and it's looking pretty stacked.
Yeah, it actually is.
I couldn't even tell you who I'm going to pick to win with that, because that's going to be a hard one. I'm hoping, I think I said...
You got Atlas Hightower, you got Tommy Vendetta, you got Zach Thomas, you got Gio Bronco, you got Alex Weir, Kenny Irvin, Percy Drews, you got the old school Brick Cartier, you got ABZ, then you got the tag team title match.
Yeah,
if I had to pick in the 12 man, I'm going to say Zach Thomas.
Oh yeah, that
Zach Thomas.
Zach Thomas, he's a
friend of the podcast.
He's a former guest, but man, yeah, I have to agree with him on that one. Zach Thomas,
man, Atlas Hightower. That's my pick.
I mean, it is a hard one.
Tommy,
you got Tommy
Vendetta,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely,
that's,
man.
That's all right. Man, stacked.
Jesus, it's hard to choose. You got Chris Drews too.
Could you just come and destroy Alex Van Zandt and take his place? Could you do that?
Can I do that?
I'll pick you up and drive you home.
Yeah, definitely.
It's only like a 3-hour round trip. Fuck it.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
3 hours both ways, right?
Let's do it. I'll be with you.
Yeah, and shout out to my buddy Road Rash. That's that guy, he messaged me several times to see how I was doing when I was laid up. Another Nomads, baby.
Yeah, that guy, I tell you, he'd give you the shirt off his back, man. Like, when we bought this, my new house, we didn't have a fence in the backyard for the dogs, and he was the only guy that, like, really was here every day, like, putting in posts and fence panels up every day, man. That guy, biggest sweetheart in the world.
That's all, man, that guy is... always been so cool to me. And I love the whole crazy-ass Road Rash will bash your fucking face with a hammer guy. You know what I mean? I like the deal. Him and Ace Evans and, you know, CJ Anderson that got me into the Nomads. Like, dude, these motherfuckers are badass, dude.
Yeah, CJ, he's a monster.
Target. Yeah. And then, you know, I'm just starting to become or see more Donahue's stuff. I didn't, you know, realize until recently how active and violent that guy was.
Yeah, he's few and far between when it comes to shows, but when he's there, like, he makes sure you know he's there. He likes to throw the fireball quite a bit.
Yeah, they we're absolutely gonna looking forward to seeing you guys at New Breed when it starts up. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, me too. That's one that I've been waiting on for a while. Just because
it's
of the
coming. There's almost
stuff.
Even a date right now.
It's like right there too. You know, like. I don't know any details. I just know that they're looking at me.
I love that promo with you and Road Rash. You guys picked a date. It's going to be the date. That was great.
It's gonna be a St. Valentine's Day massacre, February 13th. No, that's not the date. All right, you're talking.
Yeah, I'm real excited for that. And actually, if you're listening to the show, I give you a little spoiler. I sent a screenshot to Matt Breeding yesterday. I happened to see on Hyperion's site, like, new Breeding
their new
belt.
Championship, yeah.
That was really nice. Yeah,
it's
that on the,
dope.
It's the center plate. It
that's
was like
made
works
it.
In
yeah.
progress. And, yeah, New Breed's Heavyweight Championship. If
it's
you want to get a sneak peek of it, they you can catch that on Hyperion belts on Facebook. It's like in a very raw stage, but you can definitely see the design of the center plate, and it is dope.
Now, the final, I know what it's supposed to look like, and it's going to be really pretty. That's all I can say, but it's going to be
I love wrestling.
Yes, definitely.
I love it. I just bought an IWGP a couple of months ago, and actually I just ordered it's like the Winged Eagle and the Big Eagle. And
nice.
Yeah, I just ordered that. I'm a big fan of belts, and I agree that this belt, it's going to be beautiful. I can kind of see a little better. Obviously, you can't appreciate its full beauty till you see it in its final product, but I agree. That is going to be a beautiful championship.
The I don't know if you guys seen it, but the Rising Action Championship title is also really cool looking.
Nice. So, yeah, you've seen some cool stuff, huh?
Yeah. I'm just appreciating that, like, a lot of promotions are putting a lot of thought into their belts. Like, Horror Slam belts are really cool. The Clash belts are really cool. Everybody's actually, like, starting to find their own brand and what they want it to look like, and I'm really appreciating that the time and effort and the money spent to make their stuff look a lot better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, I hug Briar's belt every time I come here.
Damn right.
I will definitely be seeing the belt before I leave. Give him a nice big hug. And he's got this JCW championship. It's like like the Winged Eagle.
So
I hug that every time I'm here too, because I love it very much.
I have to see Briar hug me all the time too.
Yeah.
He's a belt mark.
Yeah, I'm definitely belt mark.
Man, I would get some, but I think my wife might kill me if I started collecting something else.
Yeah, you're collecting babies right now.
Oh, yeah.
It should be soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
what he said.
Damn. My son's fiance is doing July.
And my girl's doing June.
Your boy.
We found out. No, I'm saying my girl.
Oh, yeah. With his boy.
With my boy, yeah.
Yep. Well, all right. Hey, thank you, Sean, very much for calling in. And we just wanted to, you know, get you on and just thank you and put Face Kicked Apparel over for, you know,
we had to.
What the awesome fucking company they are. Second to none.
Well, I appreciate you guys trusting us with your product and letting me come on and talk.
Oh, man, it was our pleasure. You graced us with your presence, man.
Yeah, you're welcome to come back
anytime.
Maybe we can have a talk with the Big Bad Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yes, and thank you again very much, man. Have a great night.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys, that was the Big Bad Wolf, Sean Stockmeyer, the man behind Kickface, the pair behind the Rated R Wrestler merch. And, guys, it's about that time. Next week, we got Ring of Honor referee, Mr. Joseph Mandek III. And we're gonna have fun on that show, too. And we're sorry about Teddy Hart, but we will be rescheduling. So next week
and
on
we
the
wish the best. We are, you know, give, you know,
hoping, best wishes for
Teddy.
The, yeah.
He had some unforeseeable circumstances.
That he couldn't handle, you know, beyond his means, like I said.
Yeah, beyond his control.
Yeah.
So,
guys next week. Like I said, Ring of Honor referee. We love you guys. We'll see you guys later. Good night.
Wrestling podcast now.